it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, today we're going to do, for the first half hour of this hour, we're going to go to New Hampshire, and we'll talk about that for a little bit. And then in the second half hour of the first hour, I got to get you up on some of the news of the day. Damn, man, did you buy beans yesterday? Better get on it. Got kids. You're going to need them. Oh, lots of stuff is happening. Then in the second hour, we have some local news here. Ray Stern is the author of a story in the Phoenix New Times. It's a periodical, a weekly that comes out here, and it's kind of from the left and so on. But they got it going on about Joe Arpaio. This whole regime thing is starting to crash down. It may be of interest to some people around the country because you don't know Joe like we know Joe. And it's just getting ugly. So we'll go ahead and talk about that and see what's going on there, because it's just examples of larger stuff all over the country. So we'll have some fun with that. But first I want to introduce Sovereign Curtis. Now he's in charge of Pork Fest 2011 this year, and I want to go ahead and we'll get his whole story and Pork Fest also. Welcome, Curtis. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Ernie.
You know, what I want to do, let's go ahead and get right to the nitty-gritty. Let's go ahead and tell me all about Pork Fest and how it came about and what its relationship, if any, with the Free State Project and how they're different and the kind of people that go and what you've done in the past and what's special about 2011. Just help us out, man.
All right. Well, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, or Pork Fest for short, is the Free State Project's premier liberty event. It holds two a year, Pork Fest and Liberty Forum. And Pork Fest is a summertime camp-out retreat. I like to consider it sort of like an activist retreat based on the type of people who come out there. It's a chance for activists to get together and meet each other and recharge their batteries and get hyped for the summertime. You know, a lot of activism occurs in the summer. And it's this is the ninth annual Porcupine Freedom Festival. It actually began before the Free State Project chose New Hampshire as the target state, with a camp-out that was hosted by New Hampshire natives who wanted to entice the Free State Project to choose New Hampshire. It generally is a weekend or week-long escape to New Hampshire filled with games, fun, entertainment, speakers, dance parties, kids events, you name it, we got it. It's quite an amazing event.
Yeah, you know, I give you my perspective. I went last year and participated, and I tell you, it is a week-long camping trip with a bunch of people that are just think the way you do. You know, they're just peaceful. They're armed. they trade in silver and gold. They're just getting along. They're self-sufficient. Nobody's mooching off anybody, and it's voluntary trade, and you got all kinds of booths that are trading services and food and material and just all kinds of goodies. And it's just a good time, and for the kids. And what I found it interesting, you know, you'll have a, you know, I missed it. Some of the guys that were staying next to us, he won the pole dance, you know, so they're just having some fun with that. But at the same time, you'll have a bunch of kids' activities out on play areas and such, and they'll have all kinds of things for them to do. Little kids, preteens, teenagers. It's just, you know, they are free to run wild, and they aren't that wild. They just have fun. and they know respect other people's privacy and property and so on. And, you know, nobody's worried about anything getting stolen. Nobody's worried about, you know, they just leave out their food and drinks and everything, put money in the bucket. You know, it's just a very pleasurable event. And then at night, lots of fun. You know, there's all kinds of different things going on. You know, tell us about some of the things that in the past years have been some of your favorites and what we might look forward to this year.
Well, a couple of my favorite events that we're bringing back this year. One is Soapbox Idol, which is an adaptation of the American Idol type of game show in which liberty activists get up on stage and they've got 3 minutes to make their most interesting and compelling rant in order to please the judges and earn the title of Soapbox Idol champion. This will be the third year we're doing it, and the last 2 years have been very entertaining, always funny, and sometimes there's a few surprises thrown in. So that'll be returning this year. Also, you alluded to your neighbor from last year winning the pole dancing competition. That occurred at Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party last year, and that's returning as Buzz's Bigger Gay Dance Party this year. And it's what's known as a T-dance, which is a dance in the gay community that occurs in the afternoon, so, you know, before the sun goes down. So this will occur from 3 to 6 in the afternoon on Friday, I believe. And it's one thing that, you know, we've got a decent number of people here that are gay or lesbian or whatnot, but it seems that just about everybody that likes to have a good time likes to dress up for Buzz's party and just tear loose for about 3 hours. So I'm,
you know, that's one
that.
Thing I noticed. I'm not even sure. The guy that won, I don't even know if he was gay. Was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was. And, you know, it's just
he got up on that pole and did it so well that, you know.
Hey, man, you know, they I guess it's more attractive to the gay community when you got a straight guy doing and shaking it, you know. but the thing was is that it doesn't seem to segregate in any way like that. You don't. A lot of times you'll have events and you'll have, well, all the gay guys are over there and all the women are over there and all the men are over there and all the younger are there. It's just so it's all bound by a single thing. You know, we're the leave me alonest. I mean, they're just so pleasant to be around. And anyone that's not, they're quickly identified. And I remember there was someone that it was so easy to identify the Fed, you know. So they're going, this guy, Fed, right over there, just FYI, I want to make sure to know, you know, because of course they didn't deny it and they're gone. But, you know, it's just so easy to find when someone's just, you know, just in there trying to stir up a ruckus or something or find out something. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good time. And it's just unorganized enough to, you know, please me. But you know you got different events that are going to happen. What are some of the other events that you like?
Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to most this year is a new event we're just starting up. It's the first annual Liberty Roast. And I hope this will become a Porkfest tradition, in which we're going to take, you know, one of our special guests and make him, you know, our guest of honor. And then we're all going to make fun of him.
Now, who are you doing this
and
year?
And I believe you're on the roster to be a roaster, aren't you?
Yeah, I know, but you gotta tell everybody who it is.
Well, we're going to roast Stefan Molyneux.
Oh, Stefan Molyneux from Toronto. Yeah, he's so easy.
Yeah, well, we figure that the bald jokes and the Canadian jokes are just too easy, so I'm hoping all the roasters step up their game and don't rely on that easy bit of shtick.
I'm saving mine till then, but the it's going to be a good time. He's really looking forward to it. I talked to him a couple of days ago, and you know, he's honored and he wants to have fun. And fortunately, hopefully, he's got enough self-esteem to, you know, buttress up his ego.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be all right. You know, the what's the weather going looking like?
Generally, it's some pretty good early summer weather. Porkfest occurs during the summer equinox, so it's the longest day of the year, you know, at the beginning of Porkfest there. In northern New Hampshire, that doesn't generally mean, you know, it's definitely not August weather, you know what I'm saying? But you could expect highs of maybe the low 80s, and nighttime lows are possible into the, say, 50s. And you can probably expect we'll get rained on once or twice during the week as well, but usually that doesn't matter, and we have a good time regardless of the weather.
It was very pleasant. It's some place to take the children. It's some place to take your significant other to introduce people to what we went with some friends that had not been immersed in an Agora Society type thing, and they were very, very impressed, relaxed, enjoyed it, had a good time. We're going to talk about some of the speakers and presentations that are there and what you can learn by going to Porkfest 2019. 2011 when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Sovereign Chris. Sovereign Credit, he's going to tell us how you got that name, too. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Stop hitting me, Sierra! Oh, man, she made it well known. Bam! It's Sovereign Curtis, not Chris. Sorry about that, Curtis. Sovereign Curtis, I knew that. I'm just, you know, confusing you with Black Chris, man. He always calls himself Sovereign. The guy with the AR-15. Well, what we're going to do is get back to Sovereign Curtis here and declare your independence and make sure that we understand, first thing, where'd you get that name, man? Help me out.
Well, I'm a little bit further along the path of liberty today than I was when I adopted that name. Back then, I believed that gods came from our rights came from our Creator, and we were bestowed with sovereignty upon birth. I don't quite believe that anymore, but I still go by the names.
Well, tell me, you can't open up that can of worms, man. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I think personally, I don't believe in rights. I think rights is an abstract that is pretty much just a point of discussion. And trying to argue with a policeman over what your rights are is pretty pretty boring, really.
Go ahead and keep your mouth into the microphone, man. You're fading
out.
Sorry
about that. So I don't believe in rights. I don't think they actually exist. But what I do believe in is abilities. And I believe that if you want to be sovereign, you need to base it upon your abilities to be sovereign. That includes resources and a network and information and all those sort of things. So I'm not quite there yet, but I'd like to be one day.
So you're like, you don't have any rights you can't exercise. So, you know, I've heard that argument, and we can go down that rabbit hole for a long time. But, you know, the bottom line is you're freedom-oriented and get more and more freedom-oriented, right?
Exactly.
So this is, you know, I had dinner last night with a couple of guys from Poland. They're here interning at the Goldwater Institute, and it was suggested that they meet with me, and we talked about Pork Fest, and they have friends that are from Russia that are going to be going. They're visiting here. You want to find anarchy, man? We're going to Pork Fest. So they're going as an education for themselves to learn how this whole thing works in a society with voluntary consenting adults around just living free. And it seems that Pork Fest has become an inspiration to a lot of people around the world. What do you hear about that?
I think that's absolutely great. One of the things that's kind of interesting to note, though, is when you go to Pork Fest and you immerse yourself into what is the voluntary society for 1 week, you find it's not really all that different from back home. Sure, you've got a little more freedom and you're feeling good and whatnot, but it turns out that, you know, the vast majority of us live a voluntary lifestyle, 99.9% of our lives anyway. It's only when the state starts messing around like they own us that people start living by the statist rules. So, you know, people might think about, oh, the scary word of anarchy and how are we going to pay for the roads after this happens. But, you know, once you come and you visit Pork Fest and you say, oh, so, you know, I mean, it's not that strange voluntary trade. People engage in that every day, you know, whenever they go and look at, say, Craigslist. You know, you don't need the state there to protect you. It's, you know, consumer beware. So I think it opens people's eyes that, hey, this isn't really that strange of an idea. You know, what is strange is say, hey, we need to base our society on someone holding a gun to our head.
You know, I there's a graphic that came up on the video here Sierra put up, and it had Pork Fest 2011 with the Russian flag and the communist symbol. What's that about?
that was a fan that got it. I've got this nickname now that I've been organizing Pork Fest for the last year. Soviet Curtis, because I'm kind of a dictator or whatnot when it comes to organizing, which it's mostly a joke, and it's a running joke, and that's actually a result of that running joke.
Okay, I was just going, okay, you know, whatever.
Did she find any of the others where I'm where I'm made to look as though I'm Joseph Stalin?
She's got a bunch up here. I can't keep track of them. They're just going as they're scrolling as we're doing this. So anybody wants to see all these graphics, go to the video YouTube of the show and you'll see. But you know, there's maps and such up there too. That's another thing. Rogers Campground is a beautiful place, and it's nice, and it's just isolated up there on the Canadian, near the Canadian border. So you have this nice woodsy feel, and you do a lot of hikes and such. But you have on the map, you'll have noisy area, quieter area. So tell us about that. That's one thing that we were staying in the motel rooms there when we went, and had a camp spot, and we were kind of strung out all over. And, if you're in the wrong place, you're hearing the music till late. So tell us about that.
Yep. So, I mean, we do like to have a good time. You mentioned the kids stuff earlier and the adult stuff. And we try to cater to everyone without making it bland to appeal to everyone. So we've done a whole lot this year to appeal to the kids and families and whatnot. But we're not going to forsake the adults. I like to party, you know. So we still have a lot of fun stuff going on late night down at the pavilion and whatnot. The Freaking Pavilion.
Yeah, so if you want to be quiet, go in the other corner, because it's a big place. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, a dozen acres or more.
It could hold about 2,500 people.
How many you got signed up?
We've sold something like 620 tickets so far. We're expecting about 1,000 people.
Yep. That's usually
sold out.
Yeah, no, I'm expecting it's going to. Well, you know, the other thing, tell us about Agora Alley or Valley or what do you call it this year?
Well, Agora Alley last year was just this concept idea of encouraging free marketeers, agorists, to set up in one strategic walkway or road location, you know, all one in a row there. And then, you know, people would be encouraged to walk down there and engage in open commerce. And it went over really well last year. A lot of vendors who took part in it, they succeeded rather well beyond their expectations. And so this year we just expanded it into what we're calling Agora Valley. We had maybe 20, 24 vendors last year in Agora Alley, and this year we're looking at about 65 in Agora Valley, ranging from great food, leather work. There's going to be drinks for sale. There's going to be all types of stuff.
Yeah, bring your gun, man. They make you a custom holster right there. That was another thing that I noticed. You know, a lot of people walked around carrying firearms, and there was a time when they had the local police were just kind of touring the camp, just keep coming in, and people went, get out of here. Had to have the owners tell them, you know, shoo away, unless we call you, you're not welcome. So, you know, we're all good. So I'm, it's a nice atmosphere. You're not having to worry about somebody patrolling all the time. You know, the owners of the campground, tell us about them.
Oh, they're great. They come from Mid-Atlantic State, I believe. They bought the campground as, you know, when they were retiring, and they just love the lifestyle of, you know, owning and operating a campground. And every year we keep coming back because we love the campground. It's the largest privately owned campground in New Hampshire. And we tried going to a different campground that was government subsidized, and that really didn't work out because they were telling us when we could play music and when we could drink booze and all that sort of thing. We don't like all those extra rules. So even though Rogers is way the hell up north, we decided, hey, that's the best fit for our party because we have the best time there. And they respect us and they appreciate our business. So I'm really happy to be going back there, and we'll probably be going back there for a few more years until we outgrow it. And then I don't know what we're going to do because, like I said, they're the biggest campground.
Buy land. You become the biggest campground.
Yeah, we're going to have to start knocking down some trees.
You know, this is it's a good time, and I'm really glad I'm going to be spending the week up there. And, yeah, I'll be participating and having some fun. But, you know, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that if you want to experience, I mean, you really want to experience what it's like, Just to hang out with some free-minded individuals for an extended period of time, it's so relaxing. Just relaxing and safe for you, your family, your children. No pressure, nobody's bothering you, and you're just having a good time. Sovereign Curtis, thanks for coming on, man. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on LRN.FM Network from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, they're New Hampshire, but I'm in Arizona. And we're at the farm here on Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. It's Pork, P-O-R-C, Fest, F-E-S-T.com. Porkfest.com. You go there, you get all the goodies. This is, it had a much bigger impact on friends of mine than I anticipated. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're so immersed in this and met so many of the people that, you know, we kind of, you know what to expect. We're going to have a good time, see a lot of friends there regardless anyway. So, but, you know, then you have people that, you know, they don't know anybody. You know, they're going, they're saying, hey, you know, what do we expect here? They go, and they just had a great time. They relaxed. The kids got to do what they wanted to do. My daughter, Sierra, went, and she, you know, had to work. We're doing the radio stuff. She's like, no, you just make me work all the time. But, you know, she got to meet a lot of good people and made friends. So I'm glad that we're going to get to go again. And I am. I'm going to be there the weekend before it starts. I've given a speech in Manchester on the future of the libertarian movement. And then it kind of segues. It's not part of the Pork Fest. It's another event. But it goes right from there. I'll just be heading up to Pork Fest. And then after it's over the following Sunday, they'll have some, you know, after party kind of, you know, just partying thing, you know, get the, you know, after the afterglow, after everything's done, we'll talk about the future of. So we'll just go ahead and I'll hang an extra day or two and then I'll fly back. While I'm there, I'm going to be doing the show live from there. LRN, Ian Freeman and Mark from Free Talk Live have the equipment all set up for the network, them doing their show, and they're kind enough to allow me to use it so I don't have to bring all my stuff again. And, you know, we have a lot of remote stuff and everything, but they had all hooked up and everything ready, so that's cool, and they're going to allow me to do that. So we'll go ahead and run the show live from there, and we'll have a lot of great guests. We did that last year, and last year, a lot of the great people that are there, man, it's just, you know, line them up. It's so easy to produce when you got a bunch of great activists there already. Now, this half hour, what I wanted to talk about is we're going to get into Sheriff Joe's thing when we come back. But I, you know, that'll be fun with the author from the periodical, the Phoenix New Times. And we'll get into some of the nitty gritty and a lot of strange things going on. And there may be people going to jail or not. What's interesting is the people that are not. And it's just, we'll find out about that. But if you look at the top of Freedom's Phoenix today, it's just the news is so, everything that we've been saying is coming. Okay, here we go. I'm just giving you some of the top stories here. We got, 50 up there or something. We'll just do some of the top ones. Now, the U.S. is intensifying covert war in Yemen. Now, they say that we're not there. We're doing something else, you know, but no, we're going there. This is what's going on. We are bombing Yemen. We're going into Yemen. We're doing a bunch more Yemen. Well, on whose side? The Obama administration has intensified airstrikes on suspected militants in Yemen in a bid to keep them from consolidating power as the government in Sana'a, S-A-N-A-A, Sana'a, teeters, the New York Times reported on Wednesday. Now, didn't we just have somebody on the last couple of days saying that the United States has sided with the people? Is that shifting? Is it changing? Did somebody else make another deal? You know, this is not over. Now, people there, you think you're making buddies with the United States government, man. It's only when it's in their interest and whatever they say or do for that day. You know, so there may very well be airstrikes against the very people that thought the United States government were siding with the people. Oh, how's that going to play out? Then we have Lieberman, Senator Lieberman from Connecticut, says that he will attend Glenn Beck's important Israel rally. He announced Monday that he would be attending Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage August rally in Israel. Now, this follows, I put it up, it happened May 23rd, which was a couple Sundays ago. And it's Christian leaders at more than churches worldwide to show support for Israel, this Christian Zionist thing going on. And I've seen it firsthand at, you know, church that we used to go to a lot. It's, you know, it's all Israel. You're not Christian enough unless you got, you know, Star David around your crucifix. I mean, you know, we're all one thing. Excuse me. Christian leaders at more than 1,500 churches in all 50 states and in more than 50 countries are scheduled to hold religious services Sunday focused on educating their congregants about the importance of Israel to their faith. Now, this already took place. Now you got, you know, Hagee guys and whatever and so on. But this is a movement, man. And it's a political thing, too. They well funded with our money we gave Israel. So, you know they're going to have the money. Now, economically, we have the U.S. is nearing even worse financial crisis. Now, this is Jim Rogers, talking about this. He's going, the U.S. is approaching a financial crisis worse than 2008. Jim Rogers, chief executive, Rogers Holdings, warned CNBC Wednesday. Now, I go on CNBC every morning. I'll just click it on because I don't have to get out of bed. I click it on. What's silver? What's gold? What BS are they slinging? All the U.S. economy needs is the perfect cheer. Dun, 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 dun. Right up until everything crashes. And they go, well, what happened? Well, it was this unforeseen thing over here, this black swan event. It was, it's so obvious what's going to happen. There's nothing they can do to stop the collapse. And the Treasury's buying of our debt, of the Fed buying of the Treasuries, they said they're not going to do it anymore. The last round is over, this month. They're saying, no, we're good. We're going to stop doing that. Well, what does newspapers say in Washington Times? They're quoting Peter Schiff there. He's going, lack of buyers may force Treasury to boost rates. Now, this is something that I've been tracking for a long time. I look at the 30-year Treasury interest rate. When that goes parabolic and shoots up, the reason is because we have debt we have to finance, but we have no one buying it. So what they either, one of two things, the Fed prints more money to buy it, or they increase the interest rate to make it more enticing for people to purchase it. If you're making an investment, I go, okay, I'm gonna give you my money. And mainly the reason is because it's safer and it's more guaranteed. They think they're going to be able to sell it when they want and get it back right up until you're not allowed. But you have the U.S. Treasury just sitting there, and you put your money in, and you're going to get, 3-4%. Yay. With inflation, everything's up like 8-10%. You're losing money. Why am I doing this? And the risk that you're even going to be able to pay it back is starting to go up. So I'm like, I'm not giving you the money. So what happened? China's pulled out. They're 97% out. Did you get the memo? It just got reported a few days ago saying China, since March of, 08, 09, 10, whatever, not too long ago, boom, they're done. They're just, we're out. They're not buying anymore. As it rolls over, they're not purchasing it anymore. So then they got to go to United Arab Emirates, this little freaking Rhode Island, Connecticut-sized country. It's got oil wells. Hey, give us some money. Saudi Arabia, give us some money. A bunch of these other countries, Japan. Japan's divesting. Why? Because they freaking in meltdown. They need their money. So now, and then we're getting more reports that, it's not, meltdown, melt through. Japan may not be habitable. So they're in big time. We're in big, big trouble. And there is nothing that you can do to change the map. And then China is warning us. Oh, debt default idea is playing with fire. Talk about that when we come back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Probably be some roads. I'm not putting a gun to your head to pay for the one I want. And of course there'll be roads, but not government funded. We're going to space and government is not invited. Yep. It's just a mindset. Let's go ahead and get into some of the other stuff that's going on. I mean, this is just details that they're gonna affect your life. And it's things that we've been talking about here on the show for a long time. And here we have Robert Shiller has the housing price index thing, and he's like, a 20 to 25% slump in home prices would not surprise me at all, nor me. And I've been screaming this for a long time because I know what the inventory is. I know what the shadow inventory is. I know what's not even on the inventory that's coming. So this is, you got years. Let's put it this way. At the peak of the purchasing of homes here in Phoenix, and Las Vegas and Phoenix and Southwest, man, we had us a peak. There was a building and the selling. There at the peak, the homes for sale, 40% of them were, ready, vacant at the peak. These were speculative because of all the incentives that they had and the money and the free and the banking and the interest rates and liar loans and this and fill out and fog this mirror. You get to buy a house, cuts. Okay? This is all created by they, them, those. So we're screaming this. We're going, look, man, this is not sustainable. So now that, you know, it's all come crashing down, and you go to the newspapers or the other, you go to the newspapers or the other media outlets, and you'll say, you know, you're causing people to go into dire straits. I mean, they're making financial decisions based on, well, I saw it on TV, you know? They're going, well, it must be true. It was in the newspaper. Yeah. So this, and I know a lot of people like this. They go, well, I just, because it reinforces what they want. It has nothing to do with them actually doing any research or having a brain. There was a group, it's called housingdoom.com, and her name was Debbie Navarette, I think, and she went by Twist. And she has subsequently moved to Texas, I think, but she was here doing this blog that her son just set up for, and she was a scientist or something. She did analytical stuff for biological systems of blah blah blah, but she knew how to analyze data. So her son set this up, and he's a teenager, and said, here, just put this up. She started working with some other broker, and they started putting up factual data. Well, it got so heated, the opposition to the data that she was putting up, that the Wall Street Journal came out. And she goes, they're going to lampoon her and just, you know, you know what she's talking about. She goes, really? All right. Bring your photographer. Let's go. Started going around the valley to all of these developments that when you build a stucco, you know, you got a stick build home and you put the white styrofoam stuff on it. Here in the Southwest, you do what's called stucco a lot. And you have the chicken wire that goes over it. And then you put the concrete tile style mortar thing sheet covering on it. And it's kind of like plastering outside of a house. Well, that's how a lot of the homes, certainly tract homes here, are built. Well, when they get to a certain stage, you get the roof on everything, hopefully so it doesn't destroy it inside, and they put the white styrofoam on. Well, stuccoing, I guess, is, you know, one of the last stages, and it's expensive. So all of a sudden, that's where they stopped. Entire subdivisions all over the place. You know, the last homes, they have some people have already, you know, moved in. They got the homeowners association in the agreement. They have 200 homes. Well, you know, the green belt there, you know, the fountains and the common areas and so on are equally distributed amongst the homeowners. So what happens? Out of 200 homes, you only got 10 people living in there. Well, they got to pony up the money for all of the homeowner association fees. I mean, their costs. So their fees go skyrocketing. We had this happen in the mid-90s up in Denver area and saw what happened. A bunch of people went bankrupt. So we're going, yeah, I remember when this happened before. You know, here we go again. Well, that's exactly what happened. So she takes these Wall Street Journal guys and their photographers and goes around and shows all of the white siding has turned yellow because it hadn't been covered with the stucco yet. She goes, how long do you think it takes for it to go do that? Look at the weeds. Look at that. I mean, how many neighborhoods you want me to show you? How many do you need? They don't want to hear that. So, you know, it kind of, you know, it blipped out a little bit. They got a little news. Yeah, you know, this maybe she's not so crazy, but, you know, isolated and, you know, individual instances of and kind of maybe doesn't mean a trend there. Blah, 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 blah. Here it comes. So now they're doing the same kind of news reporting. You know, I haven't checked them in a while. Housingdoom.com. I'm pretty sure if you did a Google on Housing Doom, you get it. And so I'm just going, you know, this is something that we knew. Well, we know it now, too. So here's Robert Shiller, you know, the Case Shiller Index guy, what's he saying? Recent housing and employment data suggest the economy is at a tipping point, while home prices could have much further to fall, veteran economist Robert Shiller said on Thursday. And it won't fall because of what? Why wouldn't it? That jobbing thing going up. What do we hear? Big, giant increase in jobless claims. You know, unemployment, saying, oh, man, we needs a job. All right. And while they're doing all this, what else is going on? U.S. can't justify its drug war spending, report says. This is the L.A. Times. Government reports say the Obama administration is unable to show that billions of dollars spent in the anti-drug efforts in Latin America have made a significant difference. Ow! It's the prohibition that makes it worse. Profits go up. You know, the incentive to sell to your kid is enormous. You need to keep expanding market of this illegal drug stuff, but it could be growing in their backyard, which it could anyway. So I'm just going, you know, this drug war thing's got to go. Got to go. Are taxpayers ready to bail out European banks that bought U.S. mortgages? Now think about this. AIG is about to do for European Union banks what the European Central Bank so far has been unwilling and or unable, namely to transfer the risk associated with European banks' massive ongoing exposure to the continuously collapsing U.S. housing market back to the U.S. taxpayers. So they're going to be playing with the numbers and what backs up this and what security that got taken by the Fed. It's going to be transferred over and treading people and moving and shuffling cards around to try and back up the European bank. And AI, I mean, all this stuff is, I'm going, and then who's ultimately on the hook for this stuff? Us, taxpayers. You know why? Let me tell you why. I can tell you exactly why. It's very clear why. You'll understand why when I tell you why. Here's why. Because they can. You think it's more complicated than that? Because they can. And they will until what? They can't. And what stops them? You got something going to go stop them? You can go march? What? What are you going to do? What? Yeah, that's what I thought. You ain't got nothing. So it just gonna has to fall, has to collapse. So here's Peter Schiff saying that, you know, the treasuries were done. The Fed is going to end at $600 billion purchase of bonds. So then who's going to buy them? Well, they're going to have to increase the interest rates. You look back, they're right now is at 4.2, 3, whatever. I'm waiting for it hits 5. That means it's going to go to 6, which means it's going to go to 16, whatever. The early years of the Reagan administration in 81, 82, it was as high as 15, 16%. You have a bunch of money that you're paying 16% on, your big bill is interest. You know, that's why it's so attractive for U.S. go debt now, and they buying their own and this and that, whatever, because they're paying back the money at a low rate. Well, what happens when they stop lending it? You got to increase the interest rate. Well, then your annual budget is a whole bunch of interest. You know, it's unsustainable. Now, China is demanding American austerity. This is good. China warns U.S. debt default ideas playing with fire. Playing with fire. Republican lawmakers are playing with fire by contemplating even a brief debt default as a means to force deeper government spending cuts. Because China is going, look, you want to play this game? You want to play some chicken? Well, guess what? We're on the sidelines, and we have, Bigfoot, know what I mean? So we'll see how that plays out. So I'm just going, amongst all this, we got Philip Giraldi saying that Israel's preparing to attack Iran before September. I'm just, you know, it goes on and on and on. I don't know what to do, man. Every time they do something like this, I go buy more Bangs. Got some Bangs? What else are you going to do? We just got to survive. Keep breathing in and out. We'll be right back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.